نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Just briefly, I have a flight to catch very soon, so I'm going to try to manage. But the good news is that the Sheikh said there's part two of the khutbah, which means that next week, inshallah, I will do both, whatever is left of this one, and whatever he'll be delivering next week if we all remain alive and healthy. But you do need to listen to this because of the conspiracy at hand against the Muslims and the people of the Sunnah in particular. The Ad-Dawla Safawiya. The Shaykh said, we stand with you this day with a nation which has been spoken about or addressed a lot in the media and in the newspapers and the magazines. It is a nation full of crime and murder. It is one which has known to create enmity and hatred in its worst condition. We stand today with the Safawiyun, their belief system, their politics, and the position which they hold against the Muslims. The Shaykh said, being ignorant of the aqidah of that particular nation and what it has done to the Muslims is something which has encompassed almost everyone. Even, you know, people of da'wah, even shuyukh, may not necessarily be aware of the intricacy of this nation and the harm which it has created. The Shaykh said, this particular nation used to be around, it was created around the time where the Ottomanites or the Ottoman Empire had overtaken Constantinople in the middle of Europe until they made it to the Vatican, to Rome. Meaning the Muslims were conquering the land, they made it up to Constantinople, close to Rome and the Vatican. At this particular stage in time, this particular nation rose. It was initiated or established by an individual named Ismail bin Haydar al-Safawi, and it was established in Iran. It came into existence after many revolutions and battles which he underwent. The end of it was that he overtook the country in the year 907 Hijri. 907. And this particular nation, prior to it, Islam was the dominant religion and the call to Islam was the thing which was prevalent. However, when he took over, he made the Shi'i madhab the one which is prevalent. Not any Shi'i madhab, because we know that they are of various denominations, but the worst of which, according to the ulama, they're not even Muslims. This is very important. They're not even Muslims. Who are they? They are the Imamites. Al-Imamiyya, who believe in the infallibility of their imams. The Ithna Ashariya, the 12ites, the 12 imam which they consider as gods with Allah, who know the past, the present and the future, who control this world. They're so pure that they were born out of their mother's thighs, so that they will not come from their mother's private parts, because of their purity. And they are infallible, they make no mistakes. Yani, they are better than the prophets and the messengers, in other words. Al-Ja'fariya, the Ja'farites, they made this the common and established madhab or way or of that particular country, up until today obviously. Now, the Shaykh said, what is that? It is a combination of corrupt and nonsensical positions and fundamentals that put together their belief system. Let us deal with some of them. They claim to be loving the Prophet ﷺ and his family members, Ahlul Bayt, outwardly, while inwardly they criticize them, mock them, curse them, and declare them as disbelievers. So much so that they say that the Quran is incomplete, and or the Qur'an has a face value and has subliminal messages. The subliminal messages, they're not known for the common people, they're only known by their imams. which basically makes the Quran not a source of guidance except for the imams and whoever is affiliated with them. So it is no longer ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. It becomes هدى for their imams. And if you're in relation with the imam, you will get the guidance. Otherwise, it's not for you. This is like the Christians, in other words. As you will see the commonalities with the Christians often. They, yes. So they refer this, even the imams in their graves. They believe that they are the ones who have knowledge of the Quran more than those who are alive. This particular, the Safawiyun, they revived this madhab, even though it was at the verge of extermination. And they brought it back with additional innovations which did not exist before, and they continue to exist until today. Among their innovation is reviling or verbally abusing the Sahaba and political persecution. Yani they made cursing the Sahaba a deen that is supposed to be publicized. It is supposed to be done in front of people and on the manabir, cursing the Sahaba. And if you see or go on YouTube, you'll see tens and hundreds of videos of their wicked imams cursing Umar and Abu Bakr from the minbar, and the people crying out of khushu'. Ajib, these people are, you won't believe. Well, you will have to believe when you see with your own eyes. So this is their deen, cursing the Sahaba, and then political persecution. If you don't agree with that, then they will imprison you and you will become an enemy of theirs and your blood becomes lawful. The second thing which they innovated is the commemoration or the celebration of the death of Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu wa ardah yearly. You all know Ashura. Wherein they will walk in the streets and you know they will slice their foreheads with a knife or a sword until blood gushes out. They will beat themselves with chains and they will slap their cheeks and run. You see it every year. This is done in the name of Islam. This is something which was revived and continues to be alive up until today. And the Shaykh mentioned some historical details. This is common amongst the Shia of Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Pakistan. No, there are some of them over there. And this is part and parcel of their deen. This is the core of their deen. If you remove that, then you don't have anything left anymore. Who did they learn this from? The Christians. And until today, in the Philippines and other countries, the Christians try to relive the crucifixion of Jesus. In fact, I read today in the newspaper that in South Korea, a man crucified himself just like Jesus was crucified, according to them. Of course, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. They never crucified him, nor did they kill him. So this idea of reliving events where someone died are from the Christians. They do it until today. The Shia learned it from the Christians, as they always learn from the Christians, never from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third thing they did is they added something to the adhan. Imagine the audacity. You say, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, wa ashhadu anna Aliyan waliyullah." You have to add something to the adhan. Ajib. And this became also a core element of their religion. Now the early Shia even rejected that. The Shaykh said, the early Shia rejected that, but somehow it prevailed and continued, and there was internal fighting amongst them until it became established. Fourthly, prostrating on this piece of rock, which they call the Husayni soil. That's why you see them, they must prostrate on something, and some people of the Sunnah play games with them. When he wants to make sujood, he will move it and he will follow it. You move it and he will follow it. He must prostrate on something. Why? So he will distinguish himself from the people of Sunnah. So he will be unique in his ibadah. There's no essence for it, according to what the Shaykh has mentioned. Another one of the innovations is that you must be buried in a place called Najaf. Even if he died in Iran, they will send him, and it became a business, the Shaykh said, the shipment. You ship dead bodies. Nowadays, FedEx and DHL, they were shipping dead bodies from Iran to Iraq, so he will be buried in that particular area. He's already stinking, and it's been a few days since he died. Needless to say, they didn't have the transportation, airplanes, but they will still do it. And another innovation. Sixthly, they changed the Qibla. Because according to them, the Sunnah, Qibla of Ahl Sunnah is incorrect. And so now they, you know, pray in a different direction. Seventhly, they allowed a person to prostrate to a human being. مَا فِي مُشْكِلَةٍ. If you would like to make sujood to one of their ulama or one of their shuyukh, this is fine. This is fine. So it's okay to make sujood to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eighthly, and they prostrate to dead people, by the way. They're dead people in the grave, and I've seen this with my own eyes. They made it part of their deen to financially support their scholars. Yani if an alim from amongst them comes, they will give him a land, they will give him a salary, they will take care of him, give him a car, make him comfortable. He doesn't have to worry about earning a living. They will pay for him so that his main job will be to mislead the people and further deviate them from the path of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they give him the khumus, like a fifth of the, you know, the zakah or whatever there is that they have there. They give him part of the money which is due on the Shia, the regular, the layman. Ninthly, they make hajj to grave sites. And it has reached amongst them that making hajj to the grave of the Hussein is better than doing hajj to Baytullah al-Haram. Yani visiting the grave is superior to doing hajj in the Haram, in Mecca, which is amazing. And the Shaykh said they have tens of references in their books about the virtue of visiting the gravesite versus visiting the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Al-Haram. Furthermore, they hate Arabs and they honor and respect Persians. So they're pro-Persians against Arabs. Even the Persian Shia hate the Arab Shia. Yani it reached a point that even they're on the same madhab, but they don't like them because they're Arabs. And also there's a lot of videos on YouTube about their hatred to Arabs, but the Prophet ﷺ was an Arab at the end of the day. So if you're going to hate the Arabs, you must hate individuals amongst the Arabs who don't act according to Islam. The same way you will hate anyone from any nationality for not acting upon Islam. You don't hate a particular nation or a particular race or a particular skin color because that's not fair. People act differently. Some Arabs are no good and some non-Arabs are no good. So we have to evaluate individuals, not a race. That's dhulm. And Allah Azza wa Jal does not accept that. These were some of their innovations. I will go for 4 more minutes, then I have to hit the road. This particular wicked man, Ismail al-Safawi, he prepared a huge army to fight against anyone who does not accept Shi'ism. Muslims, Sunni Muslims, men or women, children or elderly, everyone was killed if they did not embrace Shi'ism. They burned down the masajid and they made it stables for their horses. The houses of Allah, the people of Sunnah, they made it stables for their horses. They burned down the dead bodies and they mutilated them. And they used to ask the people in the street, what is your opinion concerning the three khulafa? Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman. If they were in favor of them, they would kill them. If they cursed them, then they would be amongst them, so they would let them free. So much so that some of them say that this particular individual and his nation killed over 1 million Sunni Muslims. 1 million. And until today in Iraq, we are reliving these same events. The Shaykh is speaking about the past, which we are experiencing today. What is happening with Iran and all of this fitna with the kingdom and other places and their affiliation with the Jews is something that no one should be, you know, not knowing of. It is known. It is known that they work behind closed doors. They work under the tables. They have this. Who started the Shia? Abdullah ibn Sabah, al-Yahudi al-Munafiq. The first one to begin this sect of deviance was a Jewish hypocrite who entered into Islam to ruin Islam from within. He was a Jew, Abdullah ibn Sabah. So their leader was a Jew, Munafiq. So what do you expect from his followers? Ouch. The Shaykh then mentioned some detailed aspects of history and what they had done in the various occasions against the Muslim Sunnis. But the bottom line, just to give you the summary, that when the Muslims were on the verge of opening the European countries, they found that the Shia were trying to overtake. So they had to do like covenants with these various European countries so they may fight the Shia from within. In the process that interrupted the conquering of these European countries, and Muslims had to back off during the Ottoman Empire. When they started fighting with them, the Shia started getting support from these very European countries, weaponry. So now they're being supported by the Christians, whom the Sunnis had to make covenants with, and they continued to fight them until they ruined the whole conquest. Yani they struck deals with the enemies. That's what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said at the end, that these individuals have always been known. Anytime there's an enemy of Islam, the Shia will be with the enemy against the Muslims. Anywhere you go in the world, it's the same thing over and over again. They are with the enemy against the Muslims, either publicly or behind doors. Don't be fooled by the media. This media is worth nothing. Big liars, the biggest liars on earth, Hollywood, Bollywood, and they say there's Chollywood now. The media is worse than them. Acting and films and movies are being displayed on these screens all day. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe anyone was killed or anyone was alive, anything was gone, nothing at all. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Oh, who you have believed. If a corrupt person comes to you with news, verify it. The most corrupt people are giving you news and you have no means of verification. Where are you going to go? So don't believe it. Don't believe it. So that was the summary. The Shaykh said at the end of the khutbah that among the things is that the Safawiyun, what they have done is they open up the doors for the Christians, treating them with kindness, lenience and love and compassion. Any Christian who would come, they would honor him, respect him. Any Sunni will be killed, persecuted and put through the test. And this remained this whole time up until today. And the Shaykh said that one of the Orientalists had said, had it not been for the Shia, today people in France, Belgium and the European countries would be reading the Quran like the Algerians. But because they came, they interrupted the whole thing, so they remained lands of Christianity. So, and basically, this is the khutbah, a little summarized. I didn't really leave except historical details, which we will not remember usually. Anyways, and the Shaykh will eventually copy this, you can get your own copy. Inshallah, next week, the Shaykh will deal with more concerning them. And this is very important, Ya Akhwan, because today, we're being tricked by particular individuals calling to unity. We must unite Muslims and Shia against the Kuffar. Habibi, these are with the Kuffar. You can't unite with them against them, because once you unite with them against them, then you have two people against you now. They work with them, they deal with them, they love them, they don't love you. They hate the people of Sunnah. And the worst of all that is they're the biggest liars. They have something called taqiyya. What is taqiyya? Is that in front of you, he acts normal. And when they're on their own, this is when their secrets are exposed. So don't believe him if he tells you in front of you, I love Abu Bakr. Because Allah knows that he does not love Abu Bakr. But he will not say it in your face because he's a liar. Born liar, living liar. And if he doesn't go back to the Sunnah, he will die as a liar. These are the enemies of Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. And they are the worst thing that happened to the Muslim Ummah until today. Because they are the enemy within. They are the enemy in the Muslim robe. It's difficult to deal with them. But we have to be very careful concerning their conspiracies. And next week, inshallah, we will hear more of the Shaykh. Jazakumullah khair for your patience. And excuse me for having to leave early. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.